there's always a person who kind of went on and on anyway. And when in the beginning, even though he had these fantastic speaking gifts, he you know, didn't necessarily. It was kind of like listening to Obama. Now Obama apparently referred to himself during his speech. Is this right? 119 times, I and me. Anyway, here is Chelsea Clinton's beginning introductory speech here to introduce her mother.
Thank you. It is such an honor for me to be here tonight. I'm here as a proud American, a proud Democrat, a proud mother, and tonight in particular, a very, very proud daughter. Quite believe it, but our daughter Charlotte is nearly 2 years old. She loves Elmo. She loves blueberries. And above all, she loves FaceTiming with Grandma. My mom can be about to walk on stage for a debate or a speech, and it just doesn't matter. She'll drop everything for a few minutes of blowing kisses and reading Chugga Chugga Choo Choo with her granddaughter. Oh, Chugga Chugga got an applause. our son, Aiden, is 5.5 weeks old. And we are so thankful that he's healthy and thriving. And well, we're a little biased, but we think he's just about the cutest baby in the world. A view I'm pretty sure my mom shares. And every day that I spend as Charlotte and Aiden's mother, I think about my own mother, my wonderful, thoughtful, hilarious mother. My earliest memory is my mom picking me up after I'd fallen down, giving me a big hug and reading me Goodnight Moon. From that moment to this one, every single memory I have of my mom is that regardless of what was happening in her life, she was always, always there for me. Every soccer game, every softball game, every piano recital, every dance recital, Sundays spent together at church and the local library, countless Saturdays spent finding shapes in the clouds, making up stories about what we would do if we ever met a triceratops. In my opinion, the friendliest looking dinosaurs, although my mom would always remind me they were still dinosaurs. As a kid, I was pretty obsessed with dinosaurs. And the day that my parents took me to Dinosaur National Park, I didn't think life could get any better. Whenever my mom was away for work, which thankfully didn't happen very often, she left notes for me to open every day she was gone, all stacked neatly together in a special drawer with a date on the front of each one so I would know which note to open on which day. When she went to France to learn about their childcare system, I remember one was all about the Eiffel Tower. Another was about the ideas she hoped to bring home to help the kids of Arkansas. I treasured each and every one of those notes. They were another reminder that I was always in her thoughts and in her heart.
All right, so you get the feel for that. I thought it was a well-delivered speech by Chelsea. She looked great. I mean, I don't know if she's, I mean, I hate to say this, but I don't know if she's had surgery or seemed like she's had acting lessons or something. Her speech was a better speech than Hillary's speech in the sense that Hillary's speeches, you know, and I was kind of kicking myself last night when I was thinking about this. because I don't remember. I used to hear Hillary give speeches where she would get seemingly, you know, loud and kind of she's got this robotic style of speaking, which is terrible. I mean, it's an absolutely disastrous effect because it makes her sound, you know, not just inauthentic, but if somebody would talk to you that way, you would say this person really doesn't care about me because they're talking to me like a machine. So, but I finally drew the conclusion and started kind of looking around that, and maybe I drew this conclusion before and just kind of forgot about it, but that Hillary is a very, very angry person. So now what would somebody like Hillary have a right to be angry about? And I would say, you know, whatever things that she's gone through in her life and whatever experience she has inside of her own head, I think has led her to the conclusion that she's a victim. And if the theory out there is true that Bill Clinton was this sex addict and Hillary was gay, bi or whatever, that it wasn't really a marriage of romance, that it was a business agreement, that might be something that really took away her happiness or whatever. Who knows? But anyway, we'll come back and play a little bit of Hillary. So it's a very long speech, but some of her speech, obviously, we'll get into here. So anyway, Kelly O'Connell, and it is 6:18, and I guess we've been listening to some Herbie Hancock, and I'll have a little bit more. This is something based on the thing that I played from him earlier. 6:19, Kelly O'Connell, 523, 1450. AM Las Cruces, and it's 1450 KOBE, and I'm also going to get into some Johnson too. So here is Hillary Clinton taking the stage.
Hero and our next president, Hillary Clinton.
All right, she's just kind of walking around. She hugged her daughter. She's waving to people. You know how the politicians do this kind of thing to humanize themselves. And Hillary is constantly has to do these things where, oh, and there's pictures of women sobbing in the audience as she stands there. I'm amazed at how many things they have to do to humanize Hillary. Like Hillary is on in the wings as Barack Obama is giving this speech, and then she comes out and points at him and gets this really gigantic smile on her face and shakes her head and runs up and hugs him. It was just the most, it looked like something out of North Korea news news clip. But anyway, here's Hillary's entrance.
Thank you all so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all very, very much. Thank you for that amazing welcome. Thank you all for the great convention that we've had. And Chelsea, thank you. I am so proud to be your mother and so proud of the woman you've become. Thank you for bringing Mark into our family and Charlotte and Aiden into the world. And Bill, that conversation we started in the law library 45 years ago. It is still going strong. You know, that conversation has lasted through good times that filled us with joy and hard times that tested us. And I've even gotten a few words in along the way. On Tuesday night, I was so happy to see that my explainer-in-chief is still on the job. I'm also grateful to the rest of my family.
Asleep at the wheel, though. He was sleeping during part of the speech.
And to the friends of a lifetime. For all of you whose hard work brought us here tonight, and to those of you who joined this campaign this week, thank you. What a remarkable week it's been.
All right, a remarkable week. Let's take a break here and come back and listen to some clips, if you can take it. I wonder, I really wonder what percentage of the audience is really into Hillary. I can't imagine it's super high. 628 Kelly O'Connell AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE. Hillary sounds like a power mad robot, a rogue machine that is bent on revenge against humans. That's just my take, of course, that was listening to last night. I couldn't believe how many times she just went into this very mechanical, it was awful. But we'll be right back and listen to some more of this.
Yeah.
Funky, funky.
I want to be her now.
Wait a minute.
Groovy, groovy, jazzy, funky, pounce, bounce, dance as we dip in the melodic sea. Rhythm keeps flowing and trips to MC. Sweet sugar pop, rock.
All right, NBC is calling it an okay speech, but a powerful convention. And I think one of the things that they were trying to do is obvious. So if you look at what the convention that what the speeches covered in the convention, you can find out what the Democrats believe Hillary's shortcomings are, whether you know, had any exposure to her or not. And what they've tried to do over and over again is humanize Hillary, which means that they feel like Hillary comes across as inauthentic and mechanical and overly ambitious and masculine. And I couldn't help get this feeling that, you know, when you hear somebody give a speech like that and she kind of lapses into this robotic language and gets loud and aggressive and mechanical, I just have this vision of somebody who's just longs to be a tyrant, you know, and force other people to do what they want. All right, so I've got a Rasmussen poll right here that came out yesterday that has Clinton up by, it looks like, maybe half a point. They're essentially tied. And so Trump looks like he's trending at about 42%. And maybe he was up to 43, almost 44 in Rasmussen. And Hillary then, when she was down at about 39, 38, has come up. So there's got to be, obviously, some sort of a bounce in this thing. Now, Nate Silver, who is this exceptional pollster and predictor and who had predicted some more. I do have some more clips here for you. The machine has crashed a couple of times. I've actually had a pretty good experience with this computer that I actually picked up for myself, because the computer that I had been using was, well, you recall, it was terrible. So I ended up doing some research and found out what it is that makes computers super fast and stuff, and was able to get a pretty nice one, rebuilt one. So, all right, let's get into America's Destiny is Ours to Choose, Hillary Clinton, from her last night's acceptance speech.
Every generation.
And here we go.
Of Americans has come together to make our country freer, fairer, and stronger. None of us ever have or can do it alone. I know that at a time when so much seems to be pulling us apart, it can be hard to imagine how we'll ever pull together. But I'm here to tell you tonight, progress is possible. I know, because I've seen it in the lives of people across America who get knocked down and get right back up. And I know it from my own life. More than a few times, I've had to pick myself up and get back in the game.
I had a vision of something from iRobot.
Like so much else in my life. I got this from my mother, too. She never let me back down from any challenge. When I tried to hide from a neighborhood bully, she literally blocked the door. Go back out there, she said.
Now here, one of the things that I think harms, I'll give you a little bit of an analysis from an old speech coach. I used to teach speech and debate at the university in Florida. Anything that makes a speaker inauthentic or seem inauthentic is a negative. And so the question that I had when I was listening to her, and I assume most people would have, even supporters, is how many of these anecdotes, how many of these stories are true? I had to take away, my takeaway was that it was a movie script that they were writing to produce an effect, to get a feeling or an outcome. And none of these stories you could count on. So let's continue on.
And she was right. You have to stand up to bullies. You have to keep working to make things better, even when the odds are long and the opposition is fierce. We lost our mother a few years ago, but I miss her every day. And I still hear her voice urging me to keep working, keep fighting for right no matter what. That's what we need to do together as a nation. And though we may not live to see the glory, as the song from the musical Hamilton goes, let us gladly join the fight. Let our legacy be about planting seeds in a garden you never get to see. That's why we're here. Not just in this hall, but on this earth. The founders showed us that, and so have many others since. They were drawn together by love of country and the selfless passion to build something better for all who follow. That is the story of America, and we begin a new chapter tonight. Yes, the world is watching what we do. Yes, America's destiny is ours to choose. So let's be stronger together, my fellow Americans. Let's look to the future with courage and confidence. Let's build a better tomorrow for our beloved children and our beloved country. And when we do, America will be greater than ever. Thank you, and may God bless you and the United States.
All right, that was actually the end of her speech, but I've got some more clips for you. We'll take a break here, but somewhat of a maniacal look in her eyes. She looked tired. The hectoring, the speaking. I just think that you can't hide who you are. My takeaway from this is you can't hide who you are, and therefore her personality, she wants to dominate people. She talks down to people. She has a mechanical view of relationships. That's, you know, whether that's fair or not, whether that's authentic. I think that Hillary represents the aspirations of a lot of women that are feminists, that are looking for someone to be a standard bearer. And although she's very, very flawed, and I'm sure most of these women would admit it, she's standing up for their own experiences, having to work every day, putting their kids in childcare, a certain number of things that they may not like, but that Hillary is standing up for and kind of defending their version of the American way. Anyway, we'll be right back. 645-523-1450 if you have a reaction to the speech or anything else.
Sweet sugar pop, rocks the pop. You don't stop till the sweet beat drops. I shall improve as I stick and move. Vivid poems recited on top of the groove. Smooth mind, floating like a butterfly. No set of float, sung like a lullaby.
Okay, so I've got some more. Let me just play for you. I've got a pretty long length of the speech here for you to check out. Hillary Clinton's acceptance speech.
Every generation of Americans has come together to make our country freer, fairer, and stronger. None of us ever have or can do it alone. I know that at a time when so much seems to be pulling us apart, it can be hard to imagine how we'll ever pull together. But I'm here to tell you tonight, progress is possible. I know because I've seen it in the lives of people across America who get knocked down and get right back up. And I know it from my own life. More than a few times, I've had to pick myself up and get back in the game.
All right, we played this. Let me fast forward this a little bit here. This is about an nine-minute speech, so we've already covered that. Let's get in a little farther.
After tonight, yes, the world is watching what we do. Yes, America's destiny is ours to choose. So let's be stronger together, my fellow Americans. Let's look to the future with courage and confidence. Let's build a better tomorrow for our beloved children and our beloved country. And when we do, America will be greater than ever. Thank you, and may God bless you and the United States.
Well, somehow that's a 9-minute speech that's about 3 minutes of what we've already played. So let me see if I can get another juicy. Let me play for you her acceptance right here.
Stronger together is not just a lesson from our history. It's not just a slogan for our campaign. It's a guiding principle for the country we've always been and the future we're going to build. A country where the economy works for everyone, not just those at the top. where you can get a good job and send your kids to a good school, no matter what zip code you live in. A country where all our children can dream and those dreams are within reach. Where families are strong, communities are safe, and yes, where love trumps hate. We're fighting for. That's the future we're working toward. And so, my friends, it is with humility, determination, and boundless confidence in America's promise that I accept your nomination for President of the United States.
All right, there's the acceptance, and then here's a little clip saying this, let me tell you who I am, which is coming from Hillary. It depends on the day of the week, but here we go.
Now, sometimes the people at this podium are new to the national stage. As you know, I'm not one of those people. I've been your first lady. Served 8 years as a senator from the great state of New York. Then I represented all of you as Secretary of State. But my job titles only tell you what I've done. They don't tell you why. The truth is, through all these years of public service, the service part has always come easier to me than the public part. I get it that some people just don't know what to make of me. So,
I think this is a disastrous admission to make, although it's totally true, but people... She spent her entire life in the public eye. People still don't really know what makes her tick, and they don't feel like her statements meet her actions. They're in disagreement. So she's got to unbelievably reintroduce herself.
Let me tell you, the family I'm from, well, no one had their name on big buildings. My family were builders of a different kind. Builders in the way most American families are. They used whatever tools they had, whatever God gave them, and whatever life in America provided, and built better lives and better futures for their kids. My grandfather worked in the same Scranton lace mill for 50 years. Because he believed that if he gave everything he had, his children would have a better life than he did. And he was right. My dad, Hugh, made it to college. He played football at Penn State and enlisted in the Navy after Pearl Harbor. When the war was over, he started his own small business, printing fabric for draperies. I remember watching him stand for hours over silk screens. He wanted to give my brothers and me opportunities he never had, and he did. My mother, Dorothy, was abandoned by her parents as a young girl. She ended up on her own at 14 working as a housemaid. She was saved by the kindness of others. Her first grade teacher saw she had nothing to eat at lunch and brought extra food to share the entire year. The lesson she passed on to me years later stuck with me. No one gets through life alone. We have to look out for each other and lift each other up. And she made sure I learned the words from our Methodist faith. Do all the good you can for all the people you can in all the ways you can, as long as ever you can. So I went to work for the Children's Defense Fund, going door to door in New Bedford, Massachusetts, on behalf of children with disabilities who were denied the chance to go to school. I remember meeting a young girl in a wheelchair on the small back porch of her house. She told me how badly she wanted to go to school. It just didn't seem possible in those days. And I couldn't stop thinking of my mother and what she'd gone through as a child. It became clear to me that simply caring is not enough. To drive real progress, you have to change both hearts and laws. You need both understanding and action. So we gathered facts, we built a coalition, and our work helped convince Congress to ensure access to education for all students with disabilities. It's a big idea, isn't it? Every kid with a disability has the right to go to school.
All right, so coming up to the end here, and sorry about the computer problems, but the takeaways that I got from this speech: stand up to bullies, in other words, stand up to Trump. Second one, kids are important. The motivation for her life is children, because her mother was abandoned. Her mother taught her the importance of helping others and being helped. That Trump is greedy, entitled, spoiled, and was given everything and has no sympathy for anybody. Socialism, nobody does it alone. It happens through the group. And then I think there's also a theme in there of government largesse, where the government comes in and helps kids, like the one she just talked about. So those are the themes. And I think that what I don't understand is if Chelsea can give a speech, and I remember hearing her in the past, she sounded terrible. She sounded really good last night. Why can't Hillary? So I would think that there is some essential element of herself that Hillary is hanging on, that is, you know, deep in her subconscious, is kind of symbolized by this mechanical, robotic yelling type of a speech. She's not going to be pushed around. She's an individual. She's fighting back. I don't know what it is, but the tone is absolutely, it's like nails on a chalkboard. So anyway, Kelly O'Connell will come back and do some more stories for you. I don't know how much Hillary you can take, but we'll be right back. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450 to call in with your reactions.
And hip hop, flipping in your dome, mix your zone and bop. Funk confusion, a fly illusion, keeps you coasting on the rhythm you're cruising. Up and down, round and round, round.
Hey, it's Kelly. Who's this?
Kelly, it's Kathy.
Kathy, it's been too long. How you been?
Oh, pretty good. My husband got me that satellite radio, so I wouldn't listen to you so much.
Oh, that's all right.
But, on Hillary, you know what I think it is? She's a doer, and she likes to do it behind the scenes. I think she truly hates getting out there making speeches. She's a control freak, and she likes to be in control of everything. But I really don't believe she likes going out into the public, making speeches, asking for votes. I think she's a doer. And, you know, I know what you think of her. I pretty much stopped listening because all it is bashing Hillary. And, my God, if Trump gets in, I hope you guys will be real proud of him.
I don't think I will.
I'm embarrassed already. I mean, I know several of my – I know friends from out of the country that are just horrified.
I mean, nobody even really knows that much about what a Trump leadership would be.
Oh, please, Kelly.
Look at the man.
He is a total embarrassment. As an American, I am embarrassed. You know, maybe I would have voted for Bush or Rand Paul, but I'll darn well vote for Hillary. If I could vote twice, I'd do it. Anything but having Donald Trump in. I think it would be a horrible setback for this country to put Trump in. I just do.
What was your impression of her speech in general?
You know, she's not a great speech maker. She's just not. I don't like some of her delivery, but the content I liked. You know, I'm not extreme liberal. I mean, I got investments in Wall Street, too. I don't want to see the Wall Street go under. That would be my retirement going with it.
Kathy,
but I also care about people and want to see, at some level, people taken care of.
Hey,
I mean, not to the max, but.
Hey, there's the GDP just came out. It's 1.2%.
Kelly, I'm not an economist.
Well, let me just put it to you this way. You've got to have 3% growth to replace and create new jobs for people entering the workplace and for those people who've lost and are looking for new jobs. 3% growth is treading water.
And do you think there will be growth under Donald Trump when he cancels all the trade agreements and Caterpillar goes under and John Deere goes under and Boeing goes under and we lose all the contracts with the rest of the world because we are going to become isolationists and pretend that globalization is not important or is not happening along with global warming, which I know you don't think is, but everybody else does.
I don't know. I think it's like Brexit. I mean, I think there'll be adjustments. Will the economy collapse and go into free fall under Trump? I don't believe that.
I'm worried about the economy under Trump. I trust it better under Hillary. As for Brexit, that was all to do with controlling their borders. I think a lot of that was old people from the World War II and on that lived, you know, in that period of time, wanted to control their borders. They're tired
of not having a say. I used to live in Bath in England, and there's a sense in England of being English that I think was being lost, and it was. I mean, that's a great culture over there.
I agree with that. I really do. They lose their identities as English, French, whatever. When you blend all into that union and let everybody come up out of Syria into all those countries. I mean, I can understand why Britain did that.
Hey, we're on the air.
Economically it's going to help them.
We're on the air. Hold on.
You know, I got to go. Thanks.
All right, just got a call from Kathy who refused to go on the air, but she told me that she didn't want to hear any more Hillary bashing and that Hillary was a doer, not a talker. And I said, what did you think about her speech? And she said, well, she doesn't like giving speeches. She doesn't like to beg for votes. I think, generally speaking, nobody likes to beg for votes, right? I mean, it's the part of politics that people don't like. The part of politics that people don't like, number one, fundraising. Number two, the scrutiny. Number three, you know, the sense that, that they're selling out, but really good politicians figure out how to do all that stuff and not sell out. So, you know, there is this model out there, and we've talked about this before, the messianic figure who comes in to save people, who almost universally is a total disaster. And Barack Obama is one of these people. He hates mixing with the rabble, with the crowd. He sees himself as a great man who shouldn't have to do this. His wife sees herself, her family, as enlightened beings. And from what I understand from the people that have known that have gotten to know the president, he doesn't like people in general. He wants to serve humanity. And this is also a contradiction. How is it that you want to serve humanity, but you don't like people? Isn't that, you know, isn't there something wrong with that? So Hillary is out of that group of people, except I think her ambition is more naked. It's more open. And I think my impression is Hillary didn't get something important in her childhood. I don't know what it was, but the lessons she learned, whatever. She comes across as a very angry person. Now, Kathy can call up and say she's a great person who doesn't like to give speeches. Most people, there's more fear of giving a speech than there is in death. So the number one fear, and I mean, I've asked attorneys who spend all day in court arguing in front of judges and juries if they want to come on the show, and they just get this, you know, panicky look in their eyes. You know, so it's something that affects everybody. But I don't think that, I don't know. There's something about you can't, you know, what's the Abraham Lincoln's statement? You can fool some of the people all of the time and all of the people some of the times, but you can't fool everybody all the time. And so my impression of Hillary is that there is something fundamentally wrong with her. Just like Barack Obama, there's something fundamentally wrong with him. I would have guessed he's a narcissist just to start off. The people who can't take any criticism. And they're just something. So I mean, this. So, what is Hollywood about? Hollywood is about people with talent and ambition, and a lot of people in Hollywood are very smart. Many people that go there are missing some basic form of acceptance from their childhood, and they're trying to make it up in front of the crowd. We've got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Russell.
Russell, good morning. Thanks for the call. Hope you're well. And what's on your mind?
Hey, I was just listening to your comments about Hillary Clinton. Let me just give a counter to what that one lady called in, and the one that wouldn't, you know, get on the
Kathy,
air.
Kathy, yeah.
I can't stand Hillary Clinton.
Russell, listen, Kathy is the lady that sometimes people complain about her voice. She's kind of center left, real nice lady, and she said she got satellite radio, so she hasn't been listening in as much, but real nice lady, but she represents what a lot of women out there see Hillary as, this woman who's been beaten down and has gotten back up a thousand times, you know?
But what's amazing is that they don't look at the opposite side of her. She's a criminal. She's a demonstrated criminal. You know, the FBI, you know, Comey, you know, got up before Congress and testified that she was. The Benghazi incident, it goes on and on. The Clinton Foundation and the investigation that's now going to be started with that foundation. These are all things that point to one thing. She's pathological. She should not be president. And if you want to get down, you know, down to kind of the more derogatory, she looks horrible. She looks like a blue whale, a kinkled blue whale. I'm sorry. I hate to be that way, but I can't stand the lady. And I'm telling you, I'm voting for Trump to save our nation.
Russell, would you go for a baby blue whale? Can we soften the blow a little bit? I mean, how tall is she, you know?
Hey, but the bottom line is look, we need to protect this nation. She's a globalist. If you want to get even, you know, go at the macro scale.
Well, I mean, she's a globalist, and what I'm starting to put the pieces together. I bought a book on globalism. They couldn't even define it, but globalism. We got political correctness and multiculturalism, which gives us our morality, and then globalism is this economic political wing of it, and it is terrifying.
It is. It's the new religion of the 21st century. It's what they want the world to become. You know, a one world government, one world, at least some form of cooperative where the elites are in charge of a new form of feudalism, neo-feudalism. And it just blows my mind because there are people that are drinking the Kool-Aid. They're taking this whole ideology hook, line, and sinker, not realizing what the ramifications are. And it's frightening.
Let me shift gears here on something related, because what you're saying kind of reminds me of it. I had a guy on a couple of days ago, Steve Kovac, who talked about this, what I thought was a booth being kicked out of this thing. And then there's an article in the newspaper that talked about this interview. And I found out some more stuff about that. The way Steve was explaining it, I wasn't able to follow. You've got an entire thing called Kindness to Kids Day that it was set up just to give local kids, poor kids. We got a ton of poor kids in the city. They were getting them ready for school, giving them backpacks and stuff like that for free down at Young Park. The Boy Scouts of America said because one of the groups is a church and because the Christian faith is opposed to homosexuality and Boy Scouts of America have taken on homosexuality as you know, the leader in the leadership or whatever, they shut down the whole event. And I talked to the guy, Steve, last night, and he says, I don't know what we're going to do, but it's the event's off. I tried to talk to the pastor. So that is an impact of globalism, this religion, the religion of globalism.
Yes, it is. And I'm telling you, I I've studied history since I was a child, and I see these, and there's a great book that's out there called Secular Cycles that talks about these patterns of change.
Secular what?
A lot of it's related to.
Russ, secular what?
Secular Cycles.
I'm going to look it up to find the author.
Yeah,
go ahead.
It's that, you know, their premise is that, you know, changes that you can predict changes in that have gone on throughout history based on prices, changes in economic, you know, things that are happening economically. And there's other factors that go into it as well. But the bottom line is we're seeing one of these. We're seeing this change that's happening in this nation, in the world. And it's based on this concept that economically we should evolve, that we should form, you know, a one world, you know, economy where everyone, you know, like, it's almost as if they want to apologize for the fact that the standard of living here in the United States has been as high as it has been for so long as it has been. And it's like, we, you know, if you look at all the policies of these last administrations, it's almost like they want to equal the playing field. NAFTA, TPP with the Southeast Asia Compact. It's like they want to bring down the United States, you know, to a third world nation status. Why else would you import, forgive me, immigrants at such an exorbitant rate where we can't absorb them all? We're $12 trillion in debt. And yet I know people, you know, in my profession, I know people that get free insurance. All you have to do is come across this our border and say, I'm poor and I'm being oppressed in my country. Yet I've got people here that I know that do not have insurance or cannot get certain basic commodities or, you know, needs met because they're Americans and they, even though they have paid into the system all their lives. And it's like a shift in the pendulum whereas before we were trying to correct, you know, that the poor weren't getting resources. Now it's the other way around. It's those that do have resources and that paid into the system but are now ill can't get resources. And it's almost like there's this sense like, well, just go off and die. You've already done, you know, you've already been here and had, you know, the best fat of the land. It's time for you to go off and die. And here's the thing. If we don't take our nation back at the roots level, if we don't protect our country again from – and I my family – they were immigrants as well from the 17th century. But what I'm trying to say is come in this country legally, come in here and do what's right. And don't be waving flags from your home country. If you want to be, if you want to show pride, that's fine, but don't do it.
All right. But here's one of the things that I would challenge people to do. Go online and look up study fallacies, go online and look up logic. And when people say stuff, dig into the premises. When people give you a hard time because you don't want to accept immigrants, go after it. You know, it's the fact of the matter is you're trying to make me feel guilty. And I got somebody that's trying to call in, so just keep trying because I'll take your call in a minute. But I think this is an important topic to get into. If somebody is trying to make you feel guilty, it's not my fault I was born in America. I will take advantage of every opportunity that I have.
Exactly.
And I don't owe 6 billion other people out there a living. I don't owe, you know, if you wanted to make everything fair, bring all these people in and stick them in America and see how fast everything goes to hell, you know?
Oh, it'll be another Venezuela. There'll be no resources anywhere. Walmart. Can you imagine all the Walmarts in town being empty with no commodities whatsoever? This is what the globalist socialist agenda will bring.
It's based on guilt. You know, it's I'm going to make you feel guilty because you had no right to be born here. You know,
exactly.
These are crazy arguments. But which is no big deal, except they're being used to destroy this country and destroy it through, you know, I mean, this president gets up and he's a narcissist. He can't stand to be criticized. He gets up and gives his little speech about constantly criticizing Trump. And yet look at what this president is doing to debase this country through immigration. You got some background noise here, Russ. Thanks for the call.
Oh, I apologize.
It's all right.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yep. All right. So somebody else was calling in. We got a caller. Thanks for the call. Is this Neil?
Yeah, this is Neil.
Good morning, Neil.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
Kelly.
What's going on?
Hey, I want to address the globalism comment. I agree with most of what you guys are saying, except for the TPP part, except for the free trade. Let's even put TPP aside and let's just talk free trade. Free trade is not a globalism issue. Free trade is a conservative economic issue. Globalism has to do with culture and way of thought and make everybody the
same.
All
right, let me ask you something.
It's not the same, so don't confuse the
two. Let me ask you something, Neil. All right, so I was thinking about this. We have run incredible trade deficits with China. America built China through our trade deficits, through this enormous amount of trade that we use. It was like a giant slave ship. It was like a giant slave factory over there pumping out all this crap.
Yep.
And here's the thing. They devalued their yuan, their currency, and were able to put American businesses out of business by running a false currency, and we've all suffered for it, and that's in the name of free trade. That's what people are not trusting here.
I understand that, but there's another side to the story. Let me mention two things. The first one is that we've devalued our currency as well. So I think it's like the pot calling the kettle, you know, black, you know, blah, whatever, for us complaining about China. Second of all, look at a Heritage Foundation study that just came out within the last couple months. It talks about free trade since 2000. They looked at free trade and looked at the cost, looked at the jobs. We are, because of free trade, we are 2 million jobs ahead, and we are $700 billion ahead in free trade since 2000 alone. We have cheaper products, which gives everybody more disposable income, and we gain more jobs than we lose. Free trade helps us. It is a lie when people say that free trade hurts us overall.
All right. Okay, we'll look into that. I got to take a break. Thanks for the call. Have a nice weekend.
See you, bro.
Okay. All right, folks, we'll take a little break here. Let's get into some Hillary analysis. Not to be confused with your analysis, but we'll be right back.
The sweat from the heat. Back to the fact, I'm the Mac, and I know that. The way I keep the rhyme, someone fall beyond forward. Falling steady, flowing, growing, showing sights and sound. Caught in the groove, if a page I'm found. Many trips to tour upon the rhymes they soared to an infinite height, to the realm of the hardcore. Here we go. Off I take ya.
All right, so the Boy Scouts of America, through some anonymous volunteer woman, called the city and complained about this Kindness for Kids event, in which, from what I understand, thousands of kids, at least hundreds of kids, show up and they're getting free stuff for school. That group would rather, and this is an abstraction, think about this. There was no application of this supposed anti-gay bias at this Kindness for Kids thing. It was an act of charity, and that just goes to show you that at least some members of these far-left groups would rather see people suffer and do without than disagree with them. So in the name of homosexual rights, the Boy Scouts of America have shut down an entire event. And now what do the Boy Scouts stand for? Right? Training, duty, honor, community. But you're telling me that an abstract argument, it's not applied. It's just the fact that this one of these groups doesn't agree with a very recent aggregation, a very recent taking on of this the homosexual element in the Boy Scouts of America. And you wanted to know what would be the downside of the gay marriage law. Well, we see it already. Bakers paying hundreds of thousands of dollars because they didn't want to bake a cake for a gay wedding. Boy Scouts of America in the name of homosexuality. Now, are the Boy Scouts going to teach these young boys the elements of homosexuality, about gay sex, in other words? Is that going to be one of their missions? I mean, it seems like the Boy Scouts under this Gates guy that was the head of the CIA and the Department of the Secretary of Defense decided that it was an unwinnable battle, and so they gave up and just took this on. And now think about this. Other groups are suffering, but it really, the children, do you think these kids care about this stuff? No, they would like a backpack and pens and shirts and whatever else they need for school. But the Boy Scouts of America are going to decide on their own that this event should be shut down because one of the players in it, according to their own holy scriptures, say that homosexuality is immoral. Is that what this country is coming to? I mean, is there no such thing as free speech? But what... So the Boy Scouts of America has just become another propaganda tool to destroy the right. We've got another phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Neil.
I'm listening.
Hey, it's really nice. Go ahead, Kelly. What?
I'm listening. We're listening.
Hey, it's really nice to be able to listen to your show again. It's been a while since I've been able to listen. Hey, real quick, I think you hit the nail on the head, my friend. The effects of the passage of gay marriage is going to have effects all over the place, not just the Constitution and bathrooms, but Boy Scouts and back-to-school events. Look, here's the problem, though. The one thing that the Boy Scouts did wrong was they accepted money from the government. If you accept money from the government nowadays, you are doomed eventually to bow down to their political correctness.
Yeah. Yeah, but the Boy Scouts are now being used as a hammer to destroy. Look, the only purpose for this event was to help the poor in this community. The only purpose for this was to service the most disenfranchised and the most vulnerable citizen or persons in our community, which happen to be the children of the poor. And yet the Boy Scouts say, because you theoretically or because you in your own minds don't agree with homosexuality, even though you're not applying it here at this event, we're going to shut everything down. So that's the kind of fascism and tyranny that this movement represents.
Isn't it interesting? In the name of tolerance and diversity is why the homosexual agenda is so strong and why they want to force themselves on all these entities. But now, if there is a little bit of division, if there's a little bit of there's diversity in the Boy Scouts now, you could argue. But if you have a diversified thought of against homosexuality, against gay marriage, then that diversity is not allowed. I think it's very contradictory, hypocritical.
It's ridiculous. Listen to this.
And destructive.
Neil, Boy Scout oath or promise. On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to obey the Scout law. People at all times to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. Morality is thrown out the window. I mean, let me ask you this. If two Boy Scouts were found to be having an affair, two 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 15-year-olds, or whatever, could the Boy Scouts could the Boy Scouts even do anything about it?
Yeah, probably not without getting into a hell of a lot of trouble.
And so Boy Scout oath or promise, on my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country and obey the Scout law to help others at all times. They're willing now to help other people unless they disagree with something they believe. This is a crazy, crazy road that we're on, and it's going to harm a lot of the people. And you see, the people that are harmed are the poorest.
I agree, my friend. And the people who say, I can't vote for Trump because he's such a jerk, they don't see the danger in voting for Hillary. They will foster Hillary the ability to get into office because their self-righteousness about how they couldn't stand to vote for Trump. That is such a mistake.
I also want to call out another thing here, which is this, according to Steve Kovach, who's an attorney I worked with at the DA, he said that the city was misapplying the law, that it didn't apply to the situation. The city is politically correct, and it's driven by politically correct people like the mayor, and they're making decisions that are obtuse. And this is like how many angels can dance on the head of a pin, how many demons can dance on the head of a pin. It is sad that the city immediately, I'm telling you, this lady calls up, they immediately shut it all down. Do they care about the poor? No. The most important thing is political correctness.
It just shows you what their true colors are. Are they about helping people, or are they about pushing their agenda?
They're about
forcing everybody to think the same way.
Cultural domination. I got to take a break.
See you, buddy.
Thanks, Neil. All right. Cultural domination. You and I disagree. I have power over you. I'm going to force you to either agree with me in your actions and deeds and statements, or I'm going to put you out of business. I'm going to drive you out of society. I'll force you to move to another town if need be. That's what they stand for. 732 AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523 1450. Shame on you, Boy Scouts. You're defying your own oath. Boy Scout law. A scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. How many of these laws have been violated? And the Boy Scouts themselves are gutless. They have no comment. I'm talking about the adult leaders. The adult leadership has been taken over by an advocacy group who is driving permissiveness in society against the Boy Scout motto, the ethos, the theory. And I'm sure this anonymous volunteer lady is laughing her rear end off. She'd shut the entire city down to make sure that no one did anything against her gay movement. 733 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523 1450. We'll be back. Let's talk about a little Hillary when we come back. Or do you want some Gary Johnson? Let's do some Gary Johnson. I got one tiny clip on Hillary, and then let's get into some Gary. shame on the city. Shame on the political, the political things in the city are done for politics. They're not done to help people. That's why the economy stinks so bad here. Yeah, it is my understanding that Ken Miyagashima has told people just to their face, our policy is no growth. That's crazy. That's like saying your policy for life is no breathing. Grow or die. And shame on the Boy Scouts. And I'm sure that the leadership of the Scouts in town is between a rock and a hard place. Where are they? Did somebody put a gun to your head and say to this stupid volunteer lady that I'd just love to get on the show, whatever her name is, that nobody will tell me what her name is, you need to protest against the fact that this church follows the Bible, because Boy Scouting is now about homosexuality. And even though nobody's going to talk about that at this event to help poor kids, you've got to shut this down, right? The most important thing is defending homosexuality, even from abstract danger. All right, so here is a little clip on... Here is a little clip that I've got that is Ben Shapiro, and Shapiro's really great. I didn't even realize it, just kind of ran into the guy. The robot Hillary hides the rage of Hillary. That's what I was thinking last night. It suddenly occurred to me, Hillary is furious. You know, and what a furious people do when they get into power. I would say Obama's a very angry person, angry at racism and slavery and all this. And now Hillary's coming in. She's angry at, you know, at men and whatever else she's had to endure. Here's Ben Shapiro.
There's an ex-Secret Service agent who's now brought out a book about Hillary Clinton and did an interview last night about how Hillary Clinton talked about how she is a person with Sean Hannity. Here's that Secret Service agent.
And you felt compelled to tell the story because why? Let me ask that.
Because I want the people, I want Americans to know what the real Clinton administration is like. Mrs. Clinton is not a leader. She's a very, very angry person all the time. I've seen many instances that I talk about in my book, Crisis of Character, where she displays this holier-than-thou attitude, do as I say, not as I do. She's a dictator. She comes across as a dictator. I've seen her berate many people, and myself included. And I've never seen any example that would lead me to believe that she could lead this country. I mean,
you know, you describe a woman that is very phony. In other words, you talk about how she'd tell you to go to hell or tell another agent to go blank himself.
Correct.
And how she threw a Bible at a Secret Service officer or agent.
Agent. Yes, sir.
Okay. And the vase story, which we'll get to in a minute.
Right.
But if the cameras were on, she was close to Bill, but it was manufactured. It was not real.
Absolutely.
Camera goes off, different person.
Yeah.
And if she had guests, she'd say, oh, he's my favorite Secret Service guy.
Sure. Not she actually did that to me one time when she berated me about an hour before over something and then introduced me to this tour from Arkansas, a group of people that were getting a special tour, and told them what a wonderful, I was her favorite officer, and patted me on the back, and almost to the point where, like, I almost believed her, but I knew what the truth was.
Yeah.
And I'd seen this behavior before.
You said, and with Hillary Clinton's latest rise, I realized her own leadership style, volcanic, impulsive, enabled by sycophants, disdainful of the rules set for everyone else, has not changed a bit. A lot has been made about temperament and the temperament of a president.
Yes.
You're describing someone by far that does not have control of her emotions or temperament.
Yeah. She exhibits some very dangerous behavior, as I would describe it.
Stop it there. But this is of course true. I mean, all of this stuff is true. And the carefully cultivated Hillary image, where she's just robotic, she actually isn't. She's actually a pretty volatile character. She just uses the robot to hide the volatility, right? She's the robot from Ex Machina, right? She's going to snap and kill people. And that's basically what we're getting here, is that she's programmed and she's robotic, but at a certain point, she's going to blow a gasket and she's just going to go on everybody, and things are going to go wildly sideways. Hillary Clinton herself understands. She says, I get why people don't trust me, but listen to Hillary's description of herself. By the way, I have to say that watching this competition between Hillary and Donald Trump, is there anyone in the United States under the age of 1,200? I mean, really, the Hillary and Trump, their combined age is older than the age of the universe. Like,
All right, so you get the That's pretty funny. He's a very bright guy. All right, here is Dinesh D'Souza talking about how Hillary is like Evita Peron. Evita, don't cry for me, America. Here, all right, here we go.
Learn that from the musical Evita.
And the money kept rolling in from every side.
Whether you can give $5 or $500 today.
When the money keeps rolling in, you don't ask how. Think of all the people, guaranteed a good time now. Never scold the hungry, get to the open out the door. Never been a fan like the foundation, never prepared.
Evita Foundation funneled millions of dollars given for the poor into her own bank account. Certainly the Clintons wouldn't steal from the poorest of the poor. Author Peter Schweitzer thinks otherwise. He's been investigating the Clinton Foundation.
It seems, Peter, that there has been an element of gangsterism in politics, but the Clintons, they have taken gangsterism to a completely new level.
They've taken it to a global level, and they put it on steroids in a massive way that's unprecedented in American history.
All right, so... anyway, take a break here. Come back. Let's talk about some Gary Johnson. And we're listening. This is written by Herbie Hancock. We'll be right back. 744 Kelly O'Connell AM. Las Cruces AM 1450. 1450 KOBE 523 1450. Get your comments, your questions, your statements. Defend your Hillary. Be right back.
What's that?
It's 7:47 and we're flying those friendly skies. And I think Gary Johnson has over 10% support. Here's an ad for him. Be libertarian with me for one election.
My name is Gary Johnson. Today I reach out to you, members of all political parties. I reach out to everyone with a vote and an axe to grind. From the Tea Party, the Constitution Party, the Green and Libertarian parties, I call out to all of you, including the disaffected and disillusioned among the Republicans and Democrats. Today, there's a handful of people in Washington ruining America. This small group has presided over the elimination of our Bill of Rights and the systematic dismantling of our freedoms guaranteed us under our Constitution. Our leaders have blown it. I ask you to join me in trying something that's never been attempted before in America. Let's put our parties and our differences aside one time. Be libertarian with me for one election. Together, we'll stop the spending and end the war. Together, we'll restore our industrial might and our economy. And if in 4 years we as a people decide we don't like peace, prosperity and freedom, we can always vote tyranny back into office again. America is better and brighter than this. Be libertarian with me this one time, and I'll prove it to you. Live free.
How beautiful, a marijuana-based economy. All right, so here is Gary Johnson, and... here is, I think this, all right, so this is a, I don't know, about a year and a half old, abolishing the income tax and the IRS.
Gary Johnson, you remember him, ran for president, two-term governor, was way ahead, for example, many issues, but on the marijuana issue. A lot of people joked about it, but he was talking about it's a basic right. Now voters in Oregon, Alaska, Washington, D.C., approving such initiatives. When all is said and done, we could be looking at a dozen states that allow it for medicinal purposes. To the former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson, ran for president, might yet again. On this issue, like many, you were ahead of the curve.
Well, I think running as a third-party candidate,
I liken the debates right now, Coke and Pepsi, Democrats and Republicans. You know, they talk about the economy. They talk about corporate taxes. Coke says, let's drop it to 30% from 33%. Pepsi says, let's drop it to 28%. Well, let's eliminate corporate tax. Let's eliminate the income tax. Let's abolish the IRS. And if we have to replace it with something, let's replace it with a national consumption tax. And free market economists, I think, would get on board and say that's really the logical way to do it. Tens of millions of jobs get created.
Are you smoking pot right now as you say this?
I'm going to stop after this show.
Understood.
Because
no, I mean, that's the kind of stuff people, if they step back and hear the wisdom of that, explain why that is not crazy talk.
It is not crazy. I mean, all the talk about jobs, why would a business locate a company anywhere in the world but the United States, given a zero
how
corporate tax rate?
How would the government get its money?
Well, in this case, like I say, replace it with a consumption tax. For those watching, you know,
wouldn't that put a chill on spending?
No. Well, actually,
if you remove the income tax.
Well, the theory is that it would be revenue neutral because you have embedded taxes, embedded federal taxes in everything that you buy. So if you take a can of Coke as an example, a can of Coke that sells for a buck, arguably you have 28% embedded federal tax in that can of Coke. So
yeah, very pricey can of Coke.
Well, when you consider Social Security match, when you consider Medicare,
understood,
and then the taxes that Coca-Cola pays to the federal government.
No, you make good points, as you did during your last presidential run.
All right, we'll take a little break here. That's just a little bit on his abolish the income tax and the IRS. Be right back to finish the here up. We'll get into a little more Gary Johnson, I guess. 523-1450. Kelly O'Connelly and Muskuses, 1450 KOBE.
Jump to the jam, boogie woogie jam slam. Bust the dialect, I'm the man in command. Come flow with the sounds of the mighty mic master. Rhyming on the mic, I'm bringing suckers to disaster. Buku ducks, but I still rock Nike with the rattle down.
All right, so I got into this conversation with somebody, and the term, and this is not the crow doth, the cock doth crow. This is cuck, C-U-C-K. A cuck, and you see this on online forums a lot, a demasculated millennial liberal male who often speaks of white privilege and modern feminism. Blames white men for all of the world's problems. Cuck, short for cuckold. So are you a cuck? Are you supporting Hillary because you're a demasculated millennial liberal male who often speaks of white privilege and modern feminism and blames white men for all the world's problems? You gotta admit, that's a pretty good definition. All right, so here's a little more Gary Johnson. I think I'll play the piano for you on the way out, little Elton John. But here's a little Gary Johnson for you.
Fallout in a Democratic Party. I got to tell you, every time I see you, your numbers go higher and higher and higher. We keep this up, we might be inaugurating you by November. How do you feel about everything that you're seeing going on right now?
Well, I'm trying to keep a low profile here. I'm trying to be very respectful of the fact that Hillary is getting the nomination, but I really hope to be able to be on the presidential debate stage come September, which right now looks like that might happen, Charles.
Yeah, I think the number's got to, they say, be 13-15% or whatever. I know you're getting there in certain polls. You've got momentum behind you, but this notion of keeping a low profile, you've got people out there that are upset. Jill Stein, she's embedded with them. She's making, you know, she's cooking out with them. She's cooking up marshmallows with them. Why are you taking this tactic when it appears that these people are now looking for a new leader?
Well, look, I think it's important to be respectful. I've got differences when it comes to Hillary Clinton. I really don't believe that government has the answer. I think that lower taxes, less regulation, and hey, regulation when it comes to health and safety, regulation when it comes to equal opportunity, plus, but there's regulation out there that's crony capitalism that gives advantage to those that already have advantage. That's the kind of regulation we can get rid of.
Right.
And then personal freedom and liberty. Hey, it's important to all of us. And I like what's happening with Facebook today. And Charles, I got on Oculus today, Facebook. Wow, that is the future.
All right, folks. So that's the argument for libertarianism, more freedom, less government. And just have laws that directly lead to safety and health and prosperity. Do me a favor, if you consider this, call up the Boy Scouts of America. Let them know how you feel about them canceling that event that was designed to help poor kids. Call up the city, city attorney, and let them know you're unhappy. I will take you out here with a little bit of Elton John. Have a great weekend. Kelly O'Connell, thanks for listening into AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. See you back in a couple of days. Ciao.